the personality as Srivasacharya Das. Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, and where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So as I mentioned before, today is the disappearance day, the commemoration of the disappearance day of these three great personalities, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Rishikananda, and Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So Om Magana, Timiranda Shah, Gananjana, Shvakaya, Chakshur, Medikam, Yena Tasmai, Shigarve Namaha. So of course, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, he is not the initiating spiritual master of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The initiating spiritual master of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Vipini Vihari Goswami. And so it is interesting in this particular respect that Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered his Siksha Guru, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, to be more important than the Diksha Guru, because that's actually our Sampradaya, which was delineated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who very nicely talked about how we have a Siksha Sampradaya. Of course, this is in opposition to what the Babajis and Radhakund say. Babajis and Radhakund say that actually it's Diksha is more important than Siksha. At least most of them say that, that Diksha is more important than Siksha. But in our particular Sampradaya, we consider that Siksha is the most important thing. Siksha, of course, means instruction. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, all of us have as our preeminent Siksha Guru, that means most important. Preeminent means first, most important. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, regardless of whoever we're initiated with, this is actually the unifying factor of the Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada's Siksha, guidance, Siksha includes his example as well as his precepts. And the Srila Prabhupada was fond of saying example is more important than, example is more important than the precepts or teachings. So, something about Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj from this very nice book, Babaji Maharaj, To Beyond Duality. And this book talks about Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and, of course, Gurkha Das Babaji Maharaj. So he was appeared, I wouldn't say born, in the year 1750 A.D. And history, or his disciplic history, is given. Baladeva Vibhushan initiated Uddhava Das Babaji, and his disciple was Madhusudana Das Babaji. And Jagannath Das Babaji accepted Babaji initiation from Madhusudana Das Babaji. In other words, he was in the line of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And there's also a Vaishya Guru too. Vaishya Guru means someone who gives you Vaish. Vaish means like dress, but not simply a ordinary dress, but the dress of a Babaji. So his Vaishya Guru was Krishnadas Babaji of Govardhan. So he performed bhajan. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj performed bhajan in Brajamandal for many years. And in the year 1880, and it's many years after he appeared, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur received many instructions from him. And in the year 1893, and remember, he lived to about 150 years of age. So we're talking about he was born in the 1700s, and now we're talking about the 1800s, too. So said that in the year 1893, he was taken to the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which had been discovered by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he was taken there to establish the authenticity of the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was carried in a basket by his servant, Bihari. That's an interesting story about Bihari later on, and I'll tell you some stories later on. But he was carried in a basket, and he was well over 115 years old. And what happened is when he arrived at the birthplace, or the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he jumped out of the basket and started dancing in ecstasy. And he was able to dance, but he wasn't able to walk, which is quite interesting. His favorite disciple was Bhagavat Das Babaji, who had accepted initiation from him, so he was his Vaish Guru. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj took Babaji initiation from Bhagavat Das Babaji Maharaj. So, in other words, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was connected with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And of course, he was connected with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was his Siksha Guru. Many, many stories about him. He worshipped deities, carried deities of Gordon time. Later on, he had deities of deity of the Sadbuja form of the Lord. And let's see. Oh, yeah. And you could see the amongst these Vaishnavas, there was so much love for each other. Once upon a time, Bhagavan Das Babaji met Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, and they actually were so happy to see each other. They embraced each other, remained motionless, locked in an embrace of loving friendship from 10 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock that night. That's a long time. And so their servants, that is Bihari Das, the servant of Jagannath Das Babaji, and Vishnu Das, the servant of Bhagavan Das Babaji, got very nervous about this whole thing. So he massaged his guru's chest and chanted the Maha Mantra, and his spiritual master came back to external consciousness. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj had so much faith in the residents of Vrindavan that once upon a time he accepted a roti, that is a chapati, from the sweeper in Vrindavan. That's considered a very low class caste. That's called bungi in India. Bungi, I mean, nobody even goes near the bungis when they're cleaning up. When we're talking about sweepers, it doesn't mean they simply clean their houses. It means someone who cleans the stool that is running through the street. Basically, in India at that time, and to a large extent at this time, they don't have any pipes that carry the stool water. The stool water is actually carried in the alleyways. And someone who cleans out the alleyways and makes sure the still water flows smoothly, that's called a sweeper caster or bungi. So he accepted prasadam from him. And then he was criticized soundly by some of the other Vaishnavas there. And then he replied, "Do you know who these sweepers are? Before appearing in Brajadham, Lord Krishna asked 88,000 sages to take birth there, and they were born in low-class families." So when you go to Braj and you see these bungis, they're actually sages that Lord Krishna asked to take birth there. So devotees reside in Brajadham simply to get the opportunity of smearing their bodies with the dust and indeed to give up their bodies. These sweepers are always serving the dust of Vrindavan. Amazing story. Once upon a time, someone asked him in Navadweep to show a miracle. And he got very upset. He said, "You know, I don't know how to perform miracles." But anyway, he showed a miracle. He started beating the ground. And the person who asked him to show a miracle was very fearful that he'd committed an offense because he'd asked him to show a miracle. And Jagannath Das Babaji replied, he said, "I'm not angry with you. I'm just chasing out a goat who was eating the tulsi plant near the cottage of Srila Lokanath Goswami at Radhakund. So he was, you know, 1,000 kilometers away from Radhakund. And when he was doing that, hitting on the ground. And so everybody was shocked to hear that. This is, you know, this is not actually happening. But then later on, they sent a telegram to Radhakund to find out if it actually happened. And it actually happened. That the goat was eating the tulsi plant. Once upon a time, the servant Bihari became very ill and he was supposed to die. The doctor said he was going to die the next day. But Jagannath Das Babaji, his master, put a tulsi leaf in his servant's mouth and began to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Within half an hour, his servant Bihari was cured. He got up out of bed and started cooking. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj would say that the best time for chanting was from 3 o'clock in the morning until 7 in the morning. He said that no serious-minded devotee would sleep during these hours. Very interesting. I was talking to someone yesterday, you know, who previously said he was experiencing a little bit of spiritual weakness, and I said, well, how early do you get up? And he said, well, about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. But actually, spiritual strength comes at that time in the morning. If you actually get up early and chant around nicely at that time. I mean, of course, there may be exceptions when you're out late doing Krishna West, you know, dancing at night. Then you'll always be spiritually strong. Let's see, any other stories here? Just a fun thing. He would generally stay 6 months in Vrindavan and 6 months at Navadvip Dham. Some people say he lived to the age of 146 or 150. And the way he left this world is very interesting. He went into he didn't enter the deity room. Anyway, so he left his body in Navadvip Dham. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to call Babaji Maharaj Vaishnava Sarvabhoma. That means the commander-in-chief of the Vaishnavas. And there's a very interesting pranam mantra we have for him. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Gauravibhava Bhumesh Twam Nirdeshta Sajana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who is respected by the entire Vaishnav community and who discovered the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared. So that's Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, whose disappearance day it is today. And next we'll talk about Rasikananda. Of course, Rasikananda was the primary disciple of Shyamananda. Shyamananda was the disciple of Hriday Chaitanya, so that was his disciplic succession. So he appeared, that is Rasikananda Deva Goswami, appeared in 1590, and he appeared during the month of Kartik, during the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik. And he was born into a very wealthy family. His father was Achyuta Deva. He was the king of this particular province, the province of Rohini. And he exhibited many wonderful qualities, Vaishnava, pure devotee qualities, as he was growing up. And he became proficient in all the shastras. He was married, he was a grihastha his whole life. His wife's name was Shamadasi, and she came from nearby. So the story of his accepting his spiritual master, Shyamananda, is quite interesting. One day he was sitting, that is, Rasikananda, was sitting in a lonely place, wondering where he was going to find a spiritual master. Just then he heard a voice from the sky, and the voice said, "Don't be in anxiety. You will become the disciple of Sri Shyamananda." So he became very jubilant at that particular point and began to repeat the name of Shyamananda, just like he was chanting japa. Shyamananda, Shyamananda, Shyamananda. And he couldn't sleep the whole night, calling out to his spiritual master. And then finally he fell asleep or rested. We don't want to say sleeping for a pure devotee. And then he saw his spiritual master, Shyamananda, in a dream. This is before he met him externally, of course. And his spiritual master was smiling. And he said, tomorrow, when the eastern sky becomes tinged with pink, that means sunrise, for those of you who don't know, I will meet you. So Rasikananda began to dance in ecstasy when he heard this. And he was waiting for the first rays of the morning sun. And then after a while, he saw Shyamananda coming down the path. Pretty interesting. And he looked as effulgent as the sun, and he was surrounded by many, many disciples. So as soon as he saw the divine form of the spiritual master, he fell down, of course, and he touched his lotus feet. And Shyamananda embraced him and began to cry, you know, bathing. Of course, they recognized each other. So on an auspicious day after that, Shyamananda initiated Rasikananda and his wife in the Radha Krishna mantra. Rasikananda began to travel with his guru, and he became his most intimate disciple and was engaged in worshipping the Radha Govinda Deva deities at Sri Gopi Vallabhapura. So it's described that he was such an enthusiastic preacher of Krishna consciousness that many rogues, robbers, and atheists were delivered from their sinful activities and received his mercy. In fact, he even converted many Mohammedans. Actually, let's call them Muslims. Actually, they don't like to be called Mohammedans. I had some discussion with them. He converted them from their particular religion to Krishna consciousness. Even he converted an elephant, which was sent for his destruction, into his disciple, and engaged the elephant in serving Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And even the person who sent the elephant, who was a Muslim, bowed at his feet and became a disciple. Amazing. Let's see, he also converted many kings and zamindars to Krishna consciousness. And even converted, wow. He gave the elephant the name Gopal when he initiated the elephant. And later on he converted two jungle tigers into Krishna consciousness. So that's very much reminiscent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going through the Jarakanda forest, and he was chanting the tigers and the elephants, and all the animals would get, and the deer, they would get up on their hind legs and chant, and they would even kiss each other. Pretty good. So he preached for about 16 years, and then he entered into the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let's see. So he was born, as we mentioned before, in 1590. And left this world in 1652, so it was not a very long lifetime. But we don't judge a Vaishnava according to the length of the lifetime. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left this world like at 48, and then probably even talks about Shankaracharya, who left this world at a very early age. So the way he entered into the pastimes of the eternal pastimes of the Lord is very interesting. He went to see Shira Chora Gopinath in Ramuna. Ramuna is about 5 or 6 hours before you reach Bhubaneswara, and then Bhubaneswara is close to Jagannath Puri. So that's the deity who stole the sweet rice for his devotee, Manavendra Puri. So when he went there, he walked to Ramuna, discussing Krishna Katha with his disciples. And after requesting everyone to begin Sankirtan, he entered the temple of Gopinath. And after touching Shri Chora Gopinath's lotus feet, he entered into their ultimate shelter. Doesn't mean he went into the deity, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, but he actually left his body right after touching the deity's lotus feet. So he had three sons, And they actually all were devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's an interesting story, another story about his exalted position. Once upon a time, he forgot that the Rath Yatra was going to take place in Jagannath Puri, and he was some distance away. So he just went as quickly as possible to Jagannath Puri. But the Rath Yatra had already started. And so Lord Jagannath, waiting for his devotee, Rasikananda, refused to move the cart. It's very similar also to the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had to push the cart with his head when the king's horses and elephants couldn't move the carts. In the same way, the cart would not move. And actually, Lord Jagannath, as described in this story, sent a message to the king. In other words, spoke to the king, because the king's a great devotee, saying that I'm waiting for my devotee Rasikananda to continue with the Rath Yatra. So finally Rasikananda arrived, and he had many presents for the deities, offered dandavats to Lord Jagannath, and the king requested him to pull the rope, and finally the cart of Lord Jagannath began to move. It's amazing. So the king gave Rasikananda a gift of land, and he established a temple there, and there's a temple there in Jagannath Puri known as the Kunjamath, and there the deity, he installed the deity of Sri Val Krishna, and the deity is now known as Sri Radha Rasika Rai. So he appeared in 1590 and left this world in 1652. And that's Rasikananda. So finally, we'll talk about Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who is my dear friend and associate. And by his mercy, I'm engaged in preaching in the Fiji Islands, which I had no intention of doing. It's very interesting how I became engaged in preaching in the Fiji Islands, and we'll tell that story before talking about Tamal Krishna Maharaj. That many years ago, during the GBC meeting, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there too, I was asked to give the Bhagavatam class. Nowadays I don't give the Bhagavatam class during the GBC meeting because I'm just so exhausted. In those days I had more energy because I was a young man. Now I'm an old man. So anyway, so I gave the class, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very impressed with the class that I gave somehow or other, and he noted that because he was very attentive to details. He never missed anything. Never missed anything, and just always protective of Krishna's energy. He was trained up personally, of course, by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. We'll tell that story. So then a few years later, maybe 2 or 3 years later, I was appointed to be the chairman of the GBC. That's when I was young. Nowadays, when they want to do that, I refuse because I don't have the energy anymore. In that year, that was a year that almost killed me. But anyway, during that year, there was some crisis in Fiji. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me as the chairman to go to try to resolve the crisis. It was a legal situation, which I don't have to get into the details about. So he asked me to go there to resolve it. So I went there and spent about a week and a half in Fiji. And somehow or other, you know, I liked the devotees, they liked me. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was pleased with my service there. And then right after that, he asked me to become the GBC of Fiji. Now that particular type of organization where someone is given what we call a non-contiguous zone is not going to continue in the future. In the past, the GBC zones were arranged upon relationships rather than practicality. In other words, if one people liked you, they got to have you as their GBC. Even though, like me, you have a GBC zone that goes all the way from Fiji to Europe and includes North Carolina and, you know, parts of America, which is actually insane. But anyway, so in the future we have the strategic planning, so all the zones will be contiguous. So this particular zone that we're in right now will include, in the future, you know, after I go and see Yamaraj. In the future, the zone will include Atlanta and I think Florida and, of course, New Orleans and the Taliban. Actually, New Orleans and the Taliban are going to be in the central zone, the Texas zone, not my zone. So anyway, but right now, we're sort of grandfathered into this whole situation. So then, anyway, so he asked me to become the GBC of Fiji, and now I'm the GBC of Fiji, and I have to take responsibility. But that also, the reason I became the GBC in the Europe zone is because my other godbrother, Bhakti Tirthamaraj, passed away, and he asked me to take responsibility there. So, you know, we have these obligations to our dear godbrothers. So, getting onto the story of Srila Tummala Krishnamaraj, he composed many, many books, of course. He got his PhD posthumously from Methodist University, Southern Methodist University, and he was like the number one student in his class, you know, valedictorian, number one student in his class. And he composed many books about Krishna consciousness, not only books, but dramas, plays, etc. And I'll read the list of some of his books. One is called Servant of a Servant, which is, of course, about his pastimes with Srila Prabhupada. Then there's the Jagannath Priya Natakam, which is called The Drama of Lord Jagannath. And then the Final Pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, Yoga for the New Millennium, Song of God, Reason, Belief, Hare Krishna and SMU, which are his essays. Actually, it's a compilation of his essays, DKG's Diary, and then Living Theology of Krishna Bhakti. Hmm. So he appeared, June 1946, and his uninitiated name was Thomas Herzig, and he joined Krishna Consciousness in 1968 and became one of the first disciples of Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And he is fondly called Srila Gurudev by his many disciples, and Goswami by his godbrothers and members of the academic world. So, immediately after he joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, he emerged as a leader and took many, many responsible positions. He established Krishna Consciousness in the many centers in America, India, France, Great Britain, and he worked very closely with Srila Prabhupada as a secretary and governing body commissioner for India to help Prabhupada develop his major projects for Navin Mayapur and Bombay, or Mumbai, as they say today, in India. And actually, Srila Prabhupada really, I wouldn't say took shelter of him, but Prabhupada loved him so much that when there was difficulty, Prabhupada would always call for him. For example, once upon a time, there was great difficulty in the United States because there were four sannyasis that Srila Prabhupada had initiated. And actually, I was just listening to where Brahmananda was telling the story that Brahmananda very humbly was saying that he had gotten proud. This is before he took sannyasi. And he gave the example that he had not properly put down Prabhupada's name in one of the books, and when he presented that book to Prabhupada, the book fell apart. And then Prabhupada got so upset with him because he understood the mentality of his disciple and he gave him sannyas to try to get rid of that mentality. Because sannyas in those days meant you became free from any sort of management. That was actually, you know, you're free of management. Nowadays, sannyas means you got to be a manager, but hopefully one day we can realize the true import of what Prabhupada intended in those days. So, anyway, so Brahmananda, who took sannyas, and Gargamuni, and Vishnujan, they went to New Vrindavan for the festival, because that was, New Vrindavan was the only like major holy place in North America where everybody could gather. And when they were there, they started preaching some nonsense that Prabhupada was God. And Prabhupada got so upset with them and with some of the other devotees at that point, he called for Tumal Krishnamaraj and said, please take me out of here. You know, there's poison from my God brothers, or poison from the Gaudiya Math has entered. And so he actually, once I took shelter, not in a spiritual sense, of course, took shelter of Tumal Krishnamaraj, and Tumal Krishnamaraj brought him to India at that particular juncture to get away. And Prabhupada also said that he had no desire to leave the United States. Prabhupada even talked about how the deity of Dwarkadish was telling him to go back to India, and Prabhupada said, no, I have all my disciples, my temples here. He was living in Los Angeles like for 8 months continuously. You can imagine Prabhupada staying in a temple for 8 months. And so, but Krishna made the arrangement that he was taken back to India, and he was taken back to India by Shiva Tumal Krishnamaraj. And when they got to India, he made Tumal Krishnamaraj the governing body commissioner, and he personally trained up Shiva Tumal Krishnamaraj. But Tumal Krishnamaraj, seeing many of his God brothers taking sannyas, also wanted to take sannyas. So Tumal Krishnamaraj sort of tricked his wife. He was with his wife in one particular place, and he asked his wife to give him Prabhupada's original Bhagavatams. And his wife was thinking, why does he want Prabhupada's original Bhagavatams to go to see Prabhupada? I think it was in Jaipur. He took sannyas, yeah, Jaipur, India. And so he went there, and then he asked Prabhupada for sannyas, and then Prabhupada said, well, you have a nice wife, you can't take sannyas. And even his wife's friends talked to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada sort of assured them that he wouldn't give him sannyas. But Tumal Krishnamaraj, being so determined, sat outside of Prabhupada's room whenever Prabhupada was giving a darshan, just sat in the doorway. And, you know, he was just like protesting, basically. And the devotees asked, why didn't Tumal Krishnamaraj come in? And Prabhupada, you know, said, you know, he's basically very determined. And then Prabhupada called him in and said, if I give you sannyas, your wife will not be very happy. And then Tumal Krishnamaraj said, yes, but sooner or later I got to take sannyas and she'd never be happy. So might as well do it now. It's like, you know, anyway, I don't want to give the example of pulling out a tooth, you know, which is painful. But the tooth, anyway, don't want to give that example. So anyway, so he took sannyas in 1972, and Prabhupada actually removed him from the GBC at that point, because at that particular point, sannyasis were not supposed to be GBCs. But when Prabhupada discovered that there was no one as expert as Tumal Krishnamaraj, he made him GBC again. So he served Prabhupada. Also, when Prabhupada was leaving this world in 1977, during 7 months before Prabhupada's passing. So after, actually, let's say about before Prabhupada passed away. So what happened is, at one particular juncture, Tumal Krishnamaraj left India to go to the United States to preach, because he was very attracted to working with his old friend, Vishnu Janmaraj. They were actually friends before they joined the movement. And so he organized this Radha Damodar party, which is one of the biggest book distribution parties in ISKCON history. It is the biggest book distribution party in ISKCON history. And he was making devotees. And Prabhupada came back to America just to bring Tumal Krishnamaraj to India with him again, because Prabhupada didn't have anyone to manage in India that he considered to be effective or efficient enough, or at least able to deal with the Indians. So when Prabhupada came to bring him back, Tumal Krishnamaraj had another plan. So Tumal Krishnamaraj brought all the new devotees they had made, and made each and every one offer a flower at Prabhupada's lotus feet. When Prabhupada saw that, said, all right, you can stay. So he's very expert even in convincing Prabhupada. You know, he had a very wonderful relationship with Prabhupada that none of us had, that he could even discuss things. If Prabhupada said that, he could even say to Prabhupada, I don't think that's a good idea, Prabhupada, we should do this. And Prabhupada allowed that relationship with him. I mean, none of us, I mean, the rest of us were completely frightened to do anything like that, to talk to Prabhupada in such a way. But he was able to do that. And then one time, of course, with the Radha Damodar Party, famous story, they were distributing so many books and also stealing devotees from the temples. The temple presidents complained to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And there was this whole rebellion in Mayapur at the temple president's meeting. And Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Maharaj and said, "These people are complaining about you. You know, you're stealing devotees. You're not properly respecting the temple presidents." And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "What do they want me to do? They want me to go to China or something?" And so what happened is then Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to the temple room and he was in the kirtan. And Prabhupada's servant called Tamal Krishna Maharaj to come to Prabhupada's room, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj understood what it was and said, "I'm not going." But the servant and Prabhupada insisted, so Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada said, "You had a very good idea. You know, you should go to China." And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "I was just joking, you know, I was just saying, you know, Timbuktu, China, whatever." And Prabhupada said, "No, Krishna has spoken through you." And Tamal Krishna Maharaj basically said, "I'm not going." And Prabhupada said, if you're not going, you're just going to stay. I'm taking all your service away. You're just staying here and chanting." So he eventually made plans to go to China with another devotee, Drishtadyumna, who was the son of the owner or one of the main people in Seagram's. And they were going to go as like representative of Seagram's company. And they were dressed up in coat and jacket. And Prabhupada at that particular time basically stopped them from going when they met them in Hawaii when they were on their way to China. And he was surrendered like that to Srila Prabhupada. After Prabhupada left, he enrolled in the university, Southern Methodist University, and graduated with a 1998 with a BA in religious studies. Then he went to Cambridge, and he wrote his dissertation. Of course, he got his PhD from Cambridge posthumously. I mean, after he left this world. And he was a very respected leader in the academic world, and he passed away in a vehicle accident in the 15th of March 2002 in Puli in West Bengal. He was completely absorbed in Krishna. Of course, it's interesting, he knew he was going to pass away before he left Mayapur. And actually, I was supposed to take the same cab, but I decided to take an earlier cab. Before he left Mayapur, he offered his obeisances, after offering obeisances to the deities, he offered his obeisances to the Garuda Stamba outside the temple in Sridhar Mayapur. And he says, "Today you're going to carry me." So he understood that actually he was going to leave in that day. And even before that, before the meeting when he had visited the devotees in Fiji, he was like saying goodbye to them. So he knew